Welcome to the Specify Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Tats Nakagawa of Castagra Products. Each week, I talk to leaders and experts about how to overcome adversity, grow massive organizations, and how to create meaningful change in the building materials and construction industry. Today's guest is real estate investor Jordan Reyes. So Jordan, thank you for coming on the show.
Tats, thank you for having me, my man.
Now, yeah, I mean, we've known each other for a while. We met through that Trends group. For those that don't know, I mean, describe the Trends group, because I had a few guests on before.
Yeah, Trends is for the time, it was an amazing experience. I think as anything goes on over a long period of time, things fall out. Community is very tough to build. And when it's small, it's more easily, we'll say, policed. But at the time, it was a little bit smaller. It's now grown to be rather large, and there's been some changes and a lot of changes. But we met there as a group, and it was just a place where we could all kind of vent, right? Run through ideas. You weren't alone in the world as an entrepreneur. I know sometimes, especially like within your own family, maybe you're the outcast, you're the only one. And so it's nice to have a support system, a community. And that's really what Trends was about. It was obviously about following trends, but more of it was the community aspect and getting to meet other people, you know, like yourself.
Yeah. And I know that I've always been interested in sort of remote, social, and then how you could build relationships. Because I think within our group, none of us have actually met, right? Face-to-face. Yeah.
None of us have met face-to-face. So I originally kind of put out the feelers. And I mean, I got it shut down because I was stepping on some toes at Trends. They were trying to set up the same thing. I wasn't trying to get paid necessarily. It would have been cool if we would have, you know, created a business out of it. But it was more about connecting with people, like authentic connections versus, hey, some screen time, a Facebook post or comment. So originally, I had a lot of traction as far as people that wanted to be involved. And it was, you know, I think at the very beginning, there was 6 or 7 groups of, you know, 10 people. So it was pretty big. They kind of naturally filtered themselves out. And, you know, now it's to a core group that is really just supportive of each other. We all come from different backgrounds and have different businesses, but the similarities and the hardships, the ups and the downs, I know we previously talked about that, are nice to talk through.
Yeah. Walk me through some of your entrepreneurial ups and downs.
Oh, I don't think we have enough time for that. I would say that the downs far surpass the number of wins, but the wins carry way more weight, if that makes any sense. So you'll fail 9 times out of 10, but the one time you hit, it covers everything and more. You know, I've done a little bit of everything. So, and I will probably continue to do a little bit of everything. Originally coming out of school, I was just got a normal job, 9 to 5, hated every second of it. I worked for Frito-Lay and was an operations manager there. And every day I realistically probably worked 3 or 4 hours. And the other time that I was there, I was daydreaming or plotting or figuring out, hey, what's my next move? What am I going to do? It was always that thought pattern. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to work and have that 9 to 5 or, you know, 9 to 9 at that point as a manager, as a salaried person. And so I was always kind of looking for my next step, my next thing. And the next thing was actually a well drilling company. So in California, we obviously have gone through a number of droughts. And so I thought, hey, here's a way to make money. So we started a well drilling company. And out of that kind of came working with a lot of farmers, a lot of business people as well. A lot of that ag background was prevalent. And so that led to irrigation kind of work and design, pump design, and then which eventually led to me trying to start my own ag, not trying, I did start my own ag tech company. And that was fun. It was very, very challenging. I tried to do everything myself and learn some tough lessons. It worked for a while. We ran it for a couple of years, but it was a challenge to kind of go up against some of the big players in the space, in the irrigation space, in the automation world, and not raise any money, just try to do everything myself, keep costs low, hiring people that weren't very expensive, But by not paying for those people, you're also not getting the quality of work. So eventually kind of moved on from that and got into real estate. And so now do real estate full time, really focused on that, growing our business there. Still has plenty of challenges, so don't you worry. But it is a lot of fun. The whole journey is fun.
Yeah. So through all the ups and downs, what has helped you sort of stay, I don't know, sane?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say the home support system is number one. Like my wife is my number one fan, and sometimes I don't know why. I get us into situations that probably not a lot of other people would enjoy, or it would cause a huge, huge problem, aka divorce. But my wife has always been like just rock steady. She believes in me, she trusts me, and I really don't know if I would be able to do anything else without her. The support is huge, right? So if I have a new idea, she's like, yeah, that sounds good. Even though she knows nothing about it, she doesn't know how it's going to work. She doesn't know what we're going to do, how we're going to pay the bills. If I came in tomorrow and said, hey, I'm done with real estate, I am starting a new AI company, she'd be like, yeah, sounds great. You know, and she just believes in me. She thinks I'm going to get it done, which is very hard to find. And so that's number one. So when I'm having a good day, a bad day, she's always level-headed, and I know that I can count on that. So that's probably the biggest thing. Outside of that, I mean, self-development, sitting by yourself, sitting with your own thoughts can be challenging sometimes, but things that I do outside of work, I enjoy the work, number one, too, is that's a big part of it. I enjoy the journey, like I said earlier. But outside of that, I mean, I like to, you know, go to the gym. I like to read. I don't know if I like to read, but I do it to get to the next step. So I like what happens after that. So those are some of the hobbies. And then obviously just kind of sitting, like I said earlier, sitting in prayer and thought and almost meditation to get over the especially tough times.
Yeah. And I would say you have a skill of getting to know people and starting conversations. Did that always come naturally, or did you develop that?
Yeah. So I don't know if it's always come naturally. Probably in high school, I would say that I was seen as standoffish, but it's because I was pretty one-track minded. I wasn't the best athlete, but I played basketball in college, and that's all I did in high school. So all I did was practice and work at that craft. And so I wasn't super personable, right? It just gave off the wrong vibes to people. And so I think it's more of a skill, but I really do enjoy that. So for instance, after church last weekend, we went out to get a cup of coffee. So we're standing in line, and you know, my wife is like, hey, why don't you go outside with the kids? I'll get the coffee. So I go outside with the kids, they get their drink, and my wife is inside waiting for hers. And so I start talking to this older lady. And so my wife tells me this later, my kids walk back into the coffee shop, and they're like, you'll never guess what dad's doing. He's just talking to some random person again, right? So that's like, anywhere we go, I like talking to people. And people have interesting stories. Literally everybody has a story. And so it's fun to get to know them. It's fun to see what can happen. And I mean, we've used this in business, you know, especially in real estate. It's something that people can easily connect to. And you'd be surprised at how many people are like, hey, I have this piece of land I have no idea what to do with. Do you want to go look at it? You know? And so that's happened a few times. But yeah, I just like hearing people's stories now and getting in those situations that most people are uncomfortable with.
Any tips for people that don't naturally do that want to explore that? Like what do you say typically? What's your approach?
Mine is pretty standard. Hey, how are you? What's going on today? What's the weather like? Right? Just the common themes. And usually people, the first, I'd say 3 or 4 questions are always super short. They're like, what's your agenda? Why are you talking to me? Right? It's just this world that we've kind of grown up in. They're in their own bubble. And most people think that you have an agenda, and you very well may, but that agenda doesn't have to be bad, right? The agenda could be, I just want to have conversations with people. I don't want to be as lonely, or I want to see what this is like, right? That's an agenda, but it's not necessarily an adversarial one where you're against this person. So I would say opening with those kind of icebreaker questions, the easy questions, but really the skill comes in listening, because it'll be very hard at the beginning. You'll have these conversations and it'll probably be like a yes or no answer. And then you're like, oh shit, like now what do I say? Right. But as you do it, you'll pick up on things. For instance, so that older lady that we met this weekend, you know, the conversation was, she had that same reaction. She's like, good. You know, that's how she responded to me when I asked, hey, how are you? You know, and then we start talking about the weather and the changes in the weather. And hey, how long have you lived here? Oh, well, I don't live here. Well, what are you doing here? Right. Oh, my son lives here or is visiting and is from California or whatever. Oh, great. What in California? And then that's the act of listening. And then that's how you expand on a conversation. Mm. Yeah, I don't live here, but we just sold. We just sold a piece of property and, you know, 2 hours away. And now we come to visit. Oh, great. Now, why'd you sell it? What did you do with it? You know, those types of questions. And that's literally how it leads into a potential, for me anyway, I'm going to relate it back to myself, is
yeah,
how it flows into a conversation about maybe a potential business deal down the road.
There's some sort of turning point where they're willing to go along with it because it's, you see, maybe it's your friendly demeanor or something or whatnot. But that there's that break point where you can get a piece of information through listening and ask for more information.
Yeah, it's really about active listening. And obviously, I know a lot of people have read Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? What's the most important thing in the English language to anyone? It's their name. So being able to remember people's names, remember certain characteristics, and talking to them about themselves or relating whatever story it is back to the importance of themselves obviously brings people's walls down. And now they open up and now they're not thinking that this is that you have that agenda or a agenda.
Yeah, that makes sense. Tell me about what you're doing now.
Yeah, so now I spend most of my days talking to people. Really, that is what my job is solving problems. I had a conversation this morning about a very, very difficult real estate deal, and I don't know what we're going to do. I don't right now. I don't know how we're going to solve it. I have a couple of ideas, but it really is about talking to people. I talk to people all day long about the problems that they're having or what they're looking for, how I can provide value in the context of real estate. So we buy, we fix and flip, we do long-term, we're buying a couple of RV parks. So we do a lot of different things that are real estate related. Also looking at acquiring businesses. But in all of that, it is usually helping the owner out of a situation because they are stuck in it and they don't know how to get out of it. So we usually can use some creative ways. And I have a bunch of partners for different areas that can help. And so really day to day is just talking to people, understanding where they're at, understanding their needs and how I or we can provide value to them.
Hmm, interesting. And then you've more recently incorporated social, because I've always tried to get you on social. What are your thoughts there?
Social is a tool moving forward that will be very, very big. I was always against it because I thought it was, I have to put myself out there. But literally that same conversation that I'm having one-on-one is now a one-to-many conversation. And I thought it was more of a platform to be braggadocious, if you will. Hey, look at me, versus establishing a relationship and being able to talk to people. But I will say that, again, everybody has their story. So me telling my story and what I am doing or how I'm doing it, if it can help one person, then the negativity that comes along with it, I'm okay with. And it's manifested itself really just through real life situations that I thought, okay, this is what it means. This is what social media can be. It's not all these TikTok dances, although I might do some of those. I don't know. It is a way that you can connect with people and you can be easily reachable and be personable even in that one-to-many setting. So I am focused on building more content and providing value. And everything we do, we need to provide value and over-provide value for an exchange, which may or may not come down the road. But I want to provide as much value as I can up front. So that's what I'm using social media for moving forward.
Nice. And when you talk about delivering value up front, I mean, I remember I used to have a list of different ways I could help people, because I know everyone talks about helping people and stuff like that. I mean, what are your go-to things that you commonly find you're helping people with? I think you're also a connector, right? You're a connector as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I prefer to connect people to my own deals, but yeah, it's just sometimes it's as simple as like, hey, how do I present an offer to a seller or an agent? How do I even make a call? Like, where do I even find the number? So putting more content out on, hey, here's what a seller call looks like. Here's what an agent call looks like. And they're not all perfect. They're not all, you call, you get a deal. That's not how this works. It's all in the follow-up. You're going to get your teeth kicked in. You're going to get punched. You're going to get knocked down. That's part of the game. Even if it is a warm lead. Now where we're at, I don't really deal with cold leads very much, if at all, unless it's something kind of like on the personal side. So most of our leads are somewhat warm and have already kind of raised their hand. But even then, you know, you still get, I'm not selling for this. I'm selling for, you know, $1 million cash. And that's fine. We're just not the buyer. So, but people need to see that, because just making the call is daunting, right? The same way that it's hard to think, if I'm an introvert, I'm not going to the coffee shop and talking to the person next to me. I'm not finding out what their story is. I'm that scares me, right? So it does me too. I hate calling people and getting rejected, but you know, it happens, and you learn to kind of cope with it, I guess.
Yeah. Is it just the fact that you have to do it, or do you kind of like sort of prioritize in your mind that it just, you know, it's important, it works? Like, how do you kind of get your head around that?
I think it's difficult when you haven't done a deal, because you don't know what the fruits of the labor are going to be, right? So in the same way that you haven't done it, I have. And if you can live that through me, through social media, or seeing a post that are like, man, this guy did it and he's an idiot. Like,
if they can I can do it.
Exactly. Like, we're all no different than the next person. And this is especially true in the real estate world. There's a bunch of gurus out there that I promise you are not doing deals. I know they're not doing deals. It's the community. And that's how it's either YouTube or whatever. They're trying to create that their value comes from the people, and it should be them providing value to the people, if that makes sense. Yeah, that's kind of my goal, is with the whole social thing and prioritizing that. I also know what the end goal is, right? Or the end scenario is. I have done deals. We've made money. There's a video on my YouTube that I just did on how we made, I don't know, 15 grand off of $20. Like, who doesn't want to learn that, right? So yeah, I know what the end looks like.
Yeah, very cool. What other sort of, I mean, you've done lots of different deals, different types of companies. What advice would you give to an entrepreneur that's starting out?
Value. So this is always the tough thing, right? It's like, provide value. And for most folks, you're coming from a spot of somewhat success, whether that be, you know, a couple of deals, or you've seen the end of it. You've seen what the fruits of that labor is going to be. And so I know, like, if rewinding, and I knew this was the answer, but I also had bills to pay. And so, especially with our ag tech company, that's probably one of the biggest failures, is that I saw everybody as a dollar sign, and how can I extract the most amount of money out of that person? Because, and it wasn't necessarily bad. Like, I wanted to be able to pay people. I wanted them to have a good life. I wanted to be able to grow the business, but in order to do that, I needed money. What I lost sight of was the actual value of the product. The product that you're delivering has to provide value, right? So as an entrepreneur starting out, I know it's cliche, but it is providing value. And you'll get to a spot, hopefully, that the money comes because you provide so much value, but you don't need the money. And so it's like this circle. And now that you don't need the money, you're open to providing more value. And so that's like when real big growth starts to happen, I think. That's my two cents on it.
Nice. Hey, Jordan, is there anything that I did not ask you, but you wanted to share?
I would say that the only thing that I would want to share is with people, if they are new entrepreneurs or whatever the case is, there's two things. I would say the only time that you lose is when you give up, right? So every time you get knocked down or stepped on, take it as a learning lesson. You don't lose until you give up or you quit. That's when you actually lose. And the beautiful thing about business and entrepreneurship is you have unlimited chances. So again, you can fail the 9 times, but that one time that you do succeed, it's going to far outweigh all the times of failure. And you'll look back and you'll build the scar tissue up, and everybody will see you at the end. But they don't know what it was like to go through the trenches, right? And all those downtimes. So I would just say, stay the course. And if it's something you're passionate about, just keep going. And then the other one is, I want to do deals with as many people as possible. And so if anybody's looking at real estate, getting into real estate, I want to help you do your first deal or your next deal.
There you go. There's both sides.
There's both sides of it.
Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Specify Growth Podcast today. Make sure you check out youtube.com/TatsTalks for video of today's podcast. Hit the subscribe button for upcoming episodes.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.